بسم الله. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. ما بعد، نعم. قال نعم، الرقية الممنوعة، الرقية الممنوعة قرص. نعم، تكلمنا في اللقاء الماضي على أن الرقية على قسمين، يستوب بلاستيك أن يسدد الرقية يزفتيك مشروعة وممنوعة. One is permissible, one is non-permissible. وقلنا بأن المشروعة هي ما توفرت فيها الشروط، شروط ثلاث. And we said that the permissible which has three conditions. الأول أن لا يعتقد أنها تنفع بذاتها. The first is that he doesn't kind of trust that it can't benefit itself without the will of Allah تعالى. والثاني أن لا تكون بما يخالف الشرع. And the second condition is that it must not be يعني containing anything that يعني opposes the شريعة of Allah تعالى. الثالث أن تكون مفهومة، يعني بلغة مفهومة. And the third must be in a understandable language, speech. يعني إذا كان عربيا لا يرقي بلغة أجنبية. إذا كان يعني الراقي والمرقي كلاهما عربي ويستطيع أن يتكلم العربية فلا بد أن يرقي بالعربية. وأما إذا كان يتكلم بلغة أعجمية لا يفهم أحد من الحضور فإن هذا لا يجوز. As if the Rafi speaks Arabic, but he prefers not to speak in this language, but he speaks in a language that none of the audience or the person who needs the Ruqya know this language, then this is non-permissible. Then this is non-permissible. No. Is this your number? Yeah, it is. I recognize your voice. Is this your number now? I'll call you. I'm in the middle of the door. I'll call you, sir. Right. Naam. ثم رقية ممنوعة. And then we have, you want to say something? Yeah. لا نقبل سبي بشيء last Friday. Could be from Quran, could be from the Sunnah, could be any دعاء but must be something that does not contradict the Sharia. As the Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba, when they said, we used to use some ruqya before Islam, in the earliest time. He said, show me your ruqya, as there is no problem with the ruqya if it does not contain shirk. Not necessarily to be from the Quran, the rest of the ruqya of the Quran and the Sunnah, but it could be from other than that. نعم النوع الثاني من الرقى رقى ممنوعة the second type of رقى which is the number of الرقى وهي كل لم يتوفر فيه الشروط الماضية and it is every رقى that does not have the conditions which you mentioned earlier فإذا حصل أن الراقي يعتقد على أن هذه الرقية بنفسها تنفع ويجزم بذلك فإنه لا تصح هذه الرقية ولا تجوز. As if the Raqi believes that this Ruqya itself by itself can benefit, then this Raqi, then this Ruqya is not permissible. أو أن تكون مشتملة على ألفاظ شركية وتوصيلات كفرية. يعني كان يأتي بألفاظ تركية يا رسول الله يا ولي فلان يا and it may contain any statement that is of shirk or kufr يعني like calling the Prophet calling the the awliya or whatsoever then we know that this ruqya is non-permissible because it contains shirk which is now can be losing one of the conditions of the permissible ruqya. Now, وكذلك أن تكون بألفاظ غير مفهومة أو طلاسم. طلاسم يعني يكتبون أعطني قلم. يعني مثلا يكتبون أحيانا يضعون مربعات هكذا ويضعون symbols أو يضعون رموز وحروف غير معروفة وكتابات عكدة لا تفهم ولا تقرأ إذا كان بهذا الشكل فهذه رقية محرمة لا تجوز حرام لأنها إما شرك أو مفضي إلى الشرك like this is not permissible because it is either shirk or it leads to the shirk يعني maybe قد يكون الراقي هذا كاذب لا يعرف السحر ولا يعرف الشعوذة ولا شيء ولكن هو يفعل هكذا حتى يوهم الناس أنه عنده شيء عنده علم he might do this just to convince the people that he is something this although he is not a magician he is not this sorcerer or whatever sorcerer but this itself is considered to be from the ruqya mamnu'a or number missing of ruqya and he is before Allah Ta'ala if he as we just described he might not be mushrik but he committed something which is haram to convince people that he is a magician while he is not if he is convincing people that he is a magician while he is not then we cannot say he is al-kafir he's a sahir is a magician and kafir. But he has committed something major. Something major. Now. طيب المطلب الثاني تمام. Now. نعم. ما صلح. If his first language is not Arabic, that means he has second language which is Arabic. Young as he has first. And does he know Arabic? Does he know Arabic? If he it depends. If he is making ruqya with the Quran, now he cannot use English. He must use Arabic. If he is using the dua which came in hadith, then he has to use the Arabic. But if he's making supplication, no problem to use any other language, but the people who are there should understand this language. طيب ناخذ اول شيء تعريفها. اولا التماعي. وماذا يسمون التماعي؟ ماذا يسمون التماعي؟ اليس هي تلسمي؟ لا ليست تلسمي. تلسمي ليست تلسمي. على حد علمنا ان تلسمي هل تلسمي؟ تلسمي. تلسمي. انا لا اعلم. أميلت أحسنت أميلت طيب هذه التمائم أو الأميلت هي ما يعلق على العنق وغيره قد يعلق على العنق قد يعلق في الذن قد يعلق في الوسط قد يعلق في الرجل. This amulet might be hung on the neck or maybe around the arm, or the waist, or the top part of the foot. هذا كله قد يكون من باب ال فتش. You know fetish? Anyway, maybe you're translating to Tagalog English. I like maybe the word is Tagalog English. American have the Americans do not know. We have American here and we have British here. Yeah. طيب على كل حال I suggest you to just change this translator or dictionary. Tarsu طيب طيب anyway, he now Abu Imran is saying that the talisman is the talasim. Talasim is the one I showed you that something unreasonable, ununderstandable, unrecognizable is written in there. That is the talisman. Then it's not the tamaim. Tamaim could be talisman, could be something else, could be readable, but it is not from the sunnah. Or could be something, yani not. Not to read, not to write, but something like it is explained here. Maybe a talisman, maybe bones, maybe ishamun al kharab. Hatta sound to the day, it is taken maybe from Arabic. Talisman. But the tamaim, the art, the ishqunna, the amulet, is something more than the talisman. Could be talisman, could be something else. No? الخرزة لا يسمون الخرزة، يحبون الخرزة مثل الذي في المسبحة، هذا الخرزة بيت بيت ايه مثل ها عميد التسبيح او الذي في الخاتم، حص في الخاتم تعرفون في بعض الاشياء خاتم مثل هذا الاسود يعني الخاتم ها ايه ستون it's a stone and it's usually taken from special stones and they believe that it can do something it can protect it oh it can protect it yeah but that's how they believe in it they believe that it can protect or benefit or something which is of course wrong وهذا طبعا لا يخفى ان هذا خطأ وهذا ما كان يعتقده الناس في الجاهلية قبل الإسلام وكثير من المسلمين اليوم يعتقدونه. It used to be before Islam but today many Muslims they believe in it. And they believe in it. نعم فهذه محرمة. This type of amulet is حرام. It's forbidden. And all the amulet is حرام. All the amulet. حتى ما يفعله بعض الناس من تعليق القرآن على الصبيان هذا حرام. Even what the people do of hanging the Quran on the young boy and the child is also حرام. لماذا حرام؟ لأنه ليس من السنة. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في زمانه ولد أولاد ابنه إبراهيم وابن ابنتي زينب وابن ابنتي فاطمة وأولاد كثير ولدوا لم يجعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم القرآن تعويذة لهم يعلقها على رقابه. There were many children born at the time of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Like his son Ibrahim, like his grandchildren of Zainab and Fatima and many other children of the Sahaba were born at his time that he did not hang or command any one of the Sahaba. None, even the Sahaba themselves did not have this kind of understanding. So even themselves they did not do it, so he agree or disagree. Because they all understand that this is not correct. لذلك نقول حتى لو كان من يعني القرآن لا يجوز أن يعلق الإنسان هذه الحماية. It's not permissible for the person to hang this kind of amulet because it is not from the it's not from Islam. It's not permissible in Islam. ثم بين حكمها بما جاء في يعني كلام الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم ماذا قال؟ And then he spoke about the ruling of it as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said.
حكم
تعلق وكلا
من تعلق شيئا
وكلا إلى الله رواه أحد الصحابة وعن حضرة
الحارث
رضي الله عنه وأرضاه
من تعلق
تميمة فلها ودع الله له. ودع ومات من بعد غالب رقى العرب رقى ولا مخصصة نعم. هذا حكم التحريم. The ruling of it according to the Sharia of Islam is that it is non-permissible. It is non-permissible, meaning the amulets are non-permissible. So one cannot use the amulet. قال وذلك لأدلة لأدلة كثيرة حيث أن هذا من أنواع الشرك تعلق التمائم وتعليق الأشياء يعني الاعتماد عليها من دون الله. The reason that it is not permissible because this is one type of the shirk, because hanging things is this means depending on trusting it other than Allah Ta'ala. And the same of things to be hung on the neck, things to be hung on the animals, or the calves. Some people hang black clothes, something like that, or anything. And some you see the Buddha Quran, and the car up until it dries and breaks, thinking that the Quran will prevent them from accidents and theft and whatsoever, which is wrong. Which is all wrong. What defends you is your belief and your tawakkul, your trust on Allah Ta'ala. And some might hang on the door eyeglass, the house shoe,
They are sure.
Many of the people today, they just do it like it's any kind of habit. They don't have any belief behind it. But this is not correct. This is haram. If it is without a belief, it is haram. If it is with a belief, then it is shirk. And some might, you know, write some statements which sometimes themselves are false to protect from the eye or jinn or whatsoever. For example, some people say, يا داخل الدار صلي على النبي المختار. They write this by the gate of the house. Or you who is entering this house, صلي على النبي. Send the peace and blessing of the Prophet. Thinking that صلي على النبي will stop the eye on evil or whatsoever. And this is wrong. And even if they write whatsoever statement or ayat or Quran, still it does not stop nothing. But what stops is you believe in these things that like la ilaha illallah or sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad or the Quran. The important thing is to believe in it and to act according to it. Not just hang it. Hanging it does not benefit. But understanding it, acting upon it, this which will protect you from jinn, from human, from whatsoever. This is what protects you. And we have to understand that what Allah Ta'ala has written in the present book will exist. Whatsoever you do. Even if you do the ruqya every day. What is better than Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? No one can keep doing ruqya like Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or the azkar. Or remembrance of Allah. No one has more protection than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet, he was cautious. Sahir. By Labid ibn al-A'sam, the Jew. And he suffered of illnesses, hunger, poverty, enemies. Nothing protected him from these things except Allah Ta'ala. And him depending on Allah, trusting Allah. Like in the cave, and first of all, when he decided to make, first, before even all that, how the people of Mecca, were so scared of him, although he was alone with only a few weak people, it's because of his belief. Inna Allah yudafi'u 'an alladhina amanu. Allah defends the believers, those who believe. And if you go back to the history and see how his grandmother, Hajar alayhi salam, when she came to Mecca alone with a newborn baby, how Allah protected them. How Allah provided them the best water ever in the world. And how Allah brought the Yemeni people to her land. And how Allah Ta'ala made them to feel, how Allah Ta'ala made them to feel so scared that how Allah Ta'ala made them to feel so scared that even to stay by force in that place. And this weak woman cannot stop them. She cannot stop them. She does not have the ability to stop them. Not only that, Allah Ta'ala protected her from them to capture her and take her as a slave. But Allah Ta'ala gave her the power. What kind of power? It's not muscles. It's not weapons. It's not numbers. But it is what he thrown in the chest of people who came from Yemen. To feel that they are weaker than her. To limit that when she said to them, you can't stay here, you can't, but you pay me. And I'm the one who has the world over here. Meaning she's the queen. She was a slave a while ago. She was a slave in Alexandria. In Egypt, sorry. She was a slave in Egypt. And now she's the queen. of a new kingdom which just been established from a desert, from a very abundant place, now become the most, or the place which is visited the most. There is no place on this earth has been visited by a number of people like Mecca. Since Allah created this earth until Allah Ta'ala resurrected or narrowed it back again, yet there will be no single place on this earth been visited by people like Mecca, which just maybe 3,000 years was very abundant. But because of the trust of this woman on her Lord, Allah, when Ibrahim left her there with her newborn baby, she asked him, to whom you leave us? Three times he did not answer. And on the third she said to him, is it Allah who commanded you to leave us here? He said, yes. She said, then go. Allah will not let us go lost. Look to this iman, to this trust. She did not hang her heart to anything else but Allah. And by that, Allah made her safe. Allah provided her food or water, which is more sufficient than food. More bitter than food. And Allah brought her people, the best of the children of Adam, the Arabs, the pure Arabs. She wasn't Arab, her child wasn't Arab. Her child wasn't Arab, Ismail. But Allah Ta'ala brought her the best of His creation amongst mankind, the Arabs. As the Prophet ﷺ said, they are the best of the children of Adam. So He brought them to her. And to be like slaves for her. Yes, they were not slaves, but they were like she is the queen. She has the word. And since then, until the day of resurrection, those people are the ones who have the right in Mecca. And no one can have the key of the Kaaba except these people. Until today, and until Allah knows when. So all this because of the tawakkul, of the iman. So when we have this, believe me, Allah Ta'ala will provide us everything we like and better, and Allah will protect us from everything we fear and even smaller. The bracelet, which they say it's made of copper, and they say it controls the power. I don't know what power. They say it controls the power, it controls the pressure, it controls all these are lies. It is a talisman, an amulet that is forbidden, haram in Islam. It only comes from the kuffar. And look, even this just came from the kuffar, not from the Muslims. And what? The rabbit's hook? Allah musta. Rabbit's hook, and they use some stones to bring luck, and some, they give the wolf skin and anger in the house, they say it chases the jinn away. There are some people, they bring the wolf skin and they hang it in the wall inside the house and they say the jinn cannot come. So the jinn are scared of this skin. It's not even a dead wall, but it's only skin. Rasulullah told us, only the Quran, only Surah Al-Baqarah that can protect the house from the jinn. And protect you, Ayatul Kursi. Like these things, simple. Yani now you go and buy wolf skin, it's expensive. And it does nothing. But over that, it's expensive. You want to buy these stones which bring love? Expensive. And many of them are liars. Maybe they are not real yani, diamonds or whatsoever. They fabricate it. Why? Because these people who ask for it are so weak in their iman, and they are weak in even their brain. They cannot think. They should only trust Allah Ta'ala. Because Allah Ta'ala is the creator of all this. The good and evil. So He is the one who can provide the good, and He is the one who can protect you from the evil. He is the only one. So if He is the only one, why should I go to others? Just Him. And that's it. And whenever and someone came to me and he said, just this week, he said to me, you said, going to magicians to remove a magic is not permissible. By Allah, we did not, yani, left. We went to everyone, every rati we know. We have done everything permissible we can. But yet, the one who is possessed could not be cured. So, when we went to the magician, he was cured. I said, Akhi, this means one thing. This means only one thing. That either Allah Ta'ala and His Prophet were not yani, were not honest when they told us that the Quran and the dua and trust on Allah will do this. And Allah Ta'ala let it go through this magician just to examine your iman. Just to test your iman, which you failed in. You got to know that even through the magician, it's by the will of Allah. Nothing else other than Allah. Even by the magician, it is still with the will of Allah. If Allah Ta'ala didn't will, even the magician can do nothing. Can do nothing. So I said to him, Akhi, have you ever heard of a magician when sick? Why the jinn did not protect him? Why the jinn did not protect him? Have you ever heard of a magician called by police? Why the jinn did not protect him? It is because Allah Ta'ala permits or doesn't permit. So, if this is the case, at the end, it is all belongs to Allah. And Allah is the one who permits and does not permit. Why then we need to go to others? Why? So we should only go back to Allah and trust Him. And then he brought some hadith here, as in the hadith reported by Abu Dawud and Al-Hakim, on the authority of Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said, I hear the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إِنَّ الرُّقَى وَالتَّمَائِمَ وَالتِّوَلَةَ شِرْكٌ. التِّوَلَة, الرُّقَى, you know الرُّقَى, verily, الرُّقَى, التَّمَائِم, التِّوَلَة, all these three are shirk. You know that, you know الرُّقَى, رُقَى is the إيش يسمون الرقية؟ ها؟ الرقية ما يسمون. رقية is the way or method to cure someone other than the medicine. Right? Whether it's by speech, something you say, or something you write, like that. So, ruqa and tamaim, the amulet, and tiwala. Tiwala is something they used to do, and they bring a seashell and they hang it, and they think that it protects the kids from evil eye or the animals, or it keeps love between husband and wife. Something that keeps love between husband and wife. They say that this keeps drop. Then they incantation. Okay. Incantation. Yeah. The ruqya is incantation. So although subhanAllah I did an interdictory for a book of a brother from, but yet I cannot catch the words, you know. It's becoming so difficult for me to remember so many things, you know. And you need to remember the Quran and Sunnah, and then you need to remember. That's why even Arabs, so when we say ruqya tiwala, they don't understand what it means. No? So we need to explain. We need to explain. In Arabic we need to explain, and in English of course we need to explain. And Allah knows this, when I learn French, I need to explain. I still have hope to learn more than one language, inshallah. Right. And in the other hadith, these all shirk. Why shirk? Ruqya is included into shirk. Although in the other hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, اعرضوا علي رقاكم. لا بأس بالرقى ما لم تكن شرك. He said, show me your ruqya. No problem with the ruqya if it does not contain shirk. So how he says, really ruqya tamayan tiwala is shirk. The ruqya which contains shirk is shirk. But the tamayim cannot be still shirk. The tiwala cannot be still shirk. So, when two, which are originally shirk, are mentioned along together with one which might be shirk, which might be not shirk, then it cannot mean that these three can be found shirk, can be found not shirk. No. Why? Because two definitely shirk, one is maybe. So we say then that here the ruqya means the ruqya which is shirk, which contains the shirk. So really the ruqya which contains the shirk plus the tamayim, the amulet, and tiwala which is the seashell, when it is used as a protection, then these are shirk. These are shirk. Now why he said shirk? That means you mean or you don't mean. It is shirk. Now the one who does it is different. If he knows that it is shirk and he intends to do it, trusting and depending on them, then this is shirk. He is a Muslim. He knows his iman. But if he does not mean it, he knows but he does not mean, we say, no, you are a sinner and you should not do it. You should not do it. Now, and as in the other hadith, which is reported by Ahmad al-Tirmidhi and al-Hakim, on the terms of Abdullah ibn Uqayn, رضي الله عنه مرفوعا. And we explain this word مرفوعا means he did not, his companion did not say, I hear the Rasulullah say, or the Prophet say, but because the Sahaba are all udur, trustworthy, none of them is a liar. So we say it is marfu'. We mean by that, he might have heard it from Rasulullah, definitely. He might have heard it from Rasulullah, but maybe with the same wording, and he forgot to say, I hear the Rasulullah say. Or, maybe with different wording, that's why he did not say Rasulullah say. Because we all know from the times of hadith, that if you don't know the exact wording of Rasulullah, you cannot say Rasulullah said. Because these are your statements, your wording, not Rasulullah. So you don't say. He said, من تعلق شيئا وكل إليه. Whoever has anything, then Allah Ta'ala will lead him to that thing which he has. Some hang the horn of goats, or the shoe of the horse,
or whatsoever. Then they are left with it. Take it now to do you what you wish from it. Allah will not protect them. So if the whole jinn came around this man, Allah will send no angel to protect them. Well, listen, because he lost the protection. He lost the protection. And in the authority of Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, also marfu'an, من تعلق تميمة فلا أتم الله له. Whoever hangs a talisman, then Allah Ta'ala, then may Allah Ta'ala, it's a kind of either dua or can inform me. It's either supplication or informing. Either this Sahabi is making dua against this man, or it is in fact the Prophet Sallallahu And the Prophet ﷺ's dua is accepted. So if the Prophet ﷺ says, may Allah not protect him, so he's not going to be protected. Or it might be an informing from Rasulullah ﷺ, he's informing. He's saying that Allah will not protect this person who has this person. وَمَنْ تَعَلَّقَ وَدَعَةً فَلَا وَدَعَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. Same thing, wada'a is one type of these talismans, or not talismans, these things that people have, it's also one type of the seashell that they have, or something like that. And this hadith is reported by Ahmed al-Hakim. وَعَنْ عُقْبَةِ بْنِ عَامِرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ مَنْ عَلَّقَ تَمِيمَةً فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ. Here, عُقْبَةُ بْنِ عَامِرٍ said that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said. So this means that the whole statement is from Rasulullah ﷺ. No doubt. من علق تميمة, whoever hung a تميمة talisman, فقد أشرك. He's then committed a shirk. He committed a shirk. رواه أحمد. So these ahadith and whatsoever, and the meaning of them, warn against these non-permissible ruqa. Non-permissible ruqa. So we have to be careful of the non-permissible ruqa. Which used to be the majority of the ruqa of the Arabs before Islam. And even today, many Muslims, Arab and non-Arab, they do that. They do that. You see them wearing what they call it, khamsa khumaysa, hand with five fingers crazy, and they say that this protects from eye. Or they put something like that, and it's many different things, many. If we're going to explain and or mention them, it will take time. But we say basically, you should not hang nothing for the purpose of protection or the purpose of bringing good. But you should trust on Allah Ta'ala. And then he mentioned something we spoke about earlier, as the talisman is made of the Quran, it contains of Quran, contains the Quran in it. Then this issue has different opinions amongst the scholars of the Salaf. Some of them say it is permissible, but they have no anybody. And the question to these people, this ulama, is was the purpose of using it available at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning there were jinn possessing people, there were evil eyes, there was kind of these things, or not where they were. Were there any children, any people, any animals, or they were not, they were. So why they did not do? Then we know that this is canon. And the Quran was there. So why Rasulullah did not do it for his son Ibrahim, or grandchildren, Hassan, Hussein, and others? Why the Sahaba did not do it? So we say, saying it is permissible because it is Quran is not acceptable. Because Quran song is not something new. It is. Yani, Quran was attended during the time of Rasulullah and the Sahaba. So none of them done it. So why we do it? Even, yani, as we said, putting it in the car, or on a shelf in the house, or as a decoration, or even in the masajid. You see the decors, the masajid with. There are the ayat of Quran all around the masjid. This is wrong. And some of them put them on the graves. There are many, many things. All this is wrong. All this is wrong. Whatever Rasulullah did or permitted, that is the thing we should do. Other than that, no. And then he said, and there are four reasons why using the Quran as an amulet or a settlement, so as a talisman, not as an amulet, because amulet, amulet or talisman, it is not permissible. Or in fact, using the Quran as an amulet is not permissible. But as a ruqya, you recite the Quran, no problem. You can recite the Quran on yourself, on someone else, no problem. To cure him, with the purpose of purification. And it is not only from magic or evil eye, or not even of the normal illnesses. Cough, cold, cancer, whatsoever. Whatsoever. It cures from everything. It cures from everything. And subhanAllah, the Quran is the only medicine can be used for all types of illness. As if you have sugar in blood, you cannot use the honey, which the Quran says is purification. If you have what you call that problem with kidneys, you cannot use zamzam because it has high, salt. And as like that, same thing if you have some kind of illnesses in the stomach, you cannot take the black tea, right? But the Quran is a medicine for all type of illness. All type of illness. Even the worries, which are not illnesses, which no one can give you any medicine for. But when you recite the Quran, you will feel that your worries die. Because it is a medicine for everything. For everything. Now, the first reason that Quran is not permissible for hanging on necks or in cars or in houses or whatsoever with the purpose of protection is that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam generally forbids from every amulet that it is not permissible. Amulets are not permissible, not at all. Second, as you said, you said the lidariah, so you stop all the possibilities of hanging what is other than the Quran, which is shirk, like the talisman or the third is that when you hang the Quran, you will disrespect it sometime. At least when you go for kind of discharging of toilets. So you're going to take it with you inside. But this, by the way, this does not mean the Quran which is saved in the mobile phone is treated the same. No. You can save the whole Quran in the mobile phone as text or as sound, voice, and this does not, it's not haram. It's not like a book or an omen. And the fourth is that during the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was purification with the Quran. They used to use the Quran as a method of purification or curing. And this was reported in the hadith that Rasulullah Sallam used to recite the Quran. He used to recite the Quran. As a protection, he used to recite the Quran. He gathered his both hands and spit three times and recites the Quran and then wipe over his body before he goes to sleep. And he repeated that three times. And he also said the recite Ayatul Kursi and Ikhlas Ma'awad the 10 after every prayer. And in the morning and in the evening, he repeated the Ikhlas Ma'awad the 10, Ikhlas Ma'awad the 10 three times. Besides the Ayatul Kursi. And in the evening, besides the last three ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. So many hadith mentioned recitation of the Quran as a method of cure and protection. So no problem to use the Quran in that way. But what is not permissible is to use the Quran, as we said, to be hung, or some of it to be hung over the necks of people or animals or homes or cars or whatsoever. This is not permissible. والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. مشكور. قسم طيب. نعم. نعم. Whatsoever of the religion must not be harmed other than your name. House of so and so, you don't have. Some people hang, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah, Inna hada min fadli Rabbi. Huh? Ida dakhalta jannataka, ulta MashaAllah, all this is wrong. All this is wrong. The house of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no any single Sahabi reported that he hung anything. The mosque of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no any single Sahabi reported that he hung anything. Wasn't he respecting Allah? So why he did not write Allah in big, by the mihrab, by the doors? That's all wrong. It's not to be written on the walls. Even yani, on the glass, on the windshield, the back windshield of the car, on the body of the car, this is not permissible. Can you put it? If somebody says, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah, without the intention to stop the evil eye, it will not stop the evil eye. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. And the other thing is, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us that if one of you sees something he likes, he say Tabarakallah. أي فليبرك. He did not say, oh, you, Sa'al ibn Hunayf, you are beautiful, you are nice. Then hang a board on your body, say, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. So whenever somebody sees it, say, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. It is a type of worship. And how many times you see something, okay, the kuffar, will the kuffar see, MashaAllah, say, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah? And the evil eye affects when it comes from a Muslim, but it does not affect when it comes from a Kafir. How can that be? And in which language you are going to write it? In all languages? Which both? Why? Not everybody knows English. Not everybody. If you go to China, many people do not understand English. So how they are going to read? It's not the way. The way is you do your self-protection by the Adhkar Rasulullah Sallam taught you. The Kuffar have nice buildings, high buildings, and they, when they say, whoa, what a big building. And never collapse. And never collapse. Don't they do that? That's how they do. Some of them, or many of them, they say, not wood. You're not wood, you're not metal, you're not aluminum, it does not change. It does not change. Or touch wood, or touch wood. Even if you touch cotton, it does not change. I don't know why they're choosing wood. I don't know. Maybe in the old days, houses were made of wood, But today they should say, touch country, or touch cement. It's from the cross. You awake some small creatures that answer your dua. Yeah. If they are sleeping, they are not protecting themselves. I don't want them. I don't want them. If they are sleeping, wake them up. But no. All this is wrong. Are they more worried than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Rasulullah didn't want to remind the people. Why he did not say hang it? Easy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam worried about his children and himself, and he worried about the Sahaba. He worried about the whole ummah. He did not tell them. So it means it's not going to protect. It's not going to protect. Okay, house. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, first of all, when you enter the house, he says, Bismillah. Salamu alaykum. There is anybody or nobody. Salamu alaykum. This is protection. He told us that when the person comes to his house and he says, Assalamu alaykum, the shayateen will call each other, get away. This house is protected. And when you say Bismillah for eating or drinking, they will say, get away. It's prevented from you. When you get, enjoying your wife, you say, before you do, you say, Bismillah. So the shaitan doesn't join. When you want to take off your clothes, you say, Bismillah. So the shaitan would not harm you. The protection is there. But look to the protection. You say, why? Because Allah wants you always remembering Him. And that's why He created you as a weak creature, and He created illnesses, ants, snakes, jinn, He created all this to make you always remember Him. Always remember Him. That is the purpose of it. It's only to serve Allah. It's only to worship Allah. It's only to, remember Allah. That is the only purpose behind these adhkar. And you will be protected if you do so. There is no magic thing. And you put this horseshoe, خلاص, stop from evil eye. That's correct. You write this on a board and hang it on your house so it will protect you. No. It is you to say it. It's not the world to say it. It's you to say it. You always keep remembering Allah. Keep dhikr. And if other person who is a Muslim see you in a beautiful thing or see something belongs to you which is beautiful and he does not say MashaAllah Tabarakallah or in fact it is Tabarakallah, this might harm but might not. Might harm, but might not at the same time. It depends on Allah, and if He wills it or not. And usually, if you have your protection done by the remembrance, it would not affect. It might affect, for that Allah Ta'ala wants to increase your reward, wants to remove of your sin, right? But it all belongs to Allah. Nothing else. Now, what? Now this one. I will close something. They do not want. Are you? Thank you. Oh, I don't know. This is a personal experience I do not know about. But, and I don't think that the sister has gone through all the women here in Saudi Arabia. But sometimes when someone has some kind of impression, he always likes to generalize it, you know, make it just so general. No, it is not correct. If this happens, those people are wrong. And maybe they have their own purposes, I don't know. Maybe if you ask them, they would say, oh, one time we had any kind of friendship with some British woman, and then she did something wrong to us, so we want to stop. I don't know, maybe. But I mean, this is something personal. If it happens, we say it is wrong, and we reject it, we don't accept it. The Muslims are all brothers and sisters, are sisters to each other, whether they are Saudis, Yemenis, Egyptians, Africans, Indians, Americans, Europeans, whatsoever. Muslims are Muslims. And to what I see, usually, once the Muslims, and let's say here in Saudi Arabia, once they see a person who is a Muslim and is from the West, they get very happy, and everyone offers to help. And for example, and a brother came to me and he said, why the soldiers here, the immigration, are so arrogant? I said, why? He said, because when I was black, Western. He said, when I came to the immigration, they asked me, what, from where you are? I said, from so-and-so, the country in the West. They say, okay, originally, he's so angry. Why did he ask me why where I'm originally from? I'm originally from that country. And it's because everyone knows the black people are from Africa. That's it. And here in Saudi Arabia, we have black Saudis. And they are so proud to say, I'm from Nigeria, I'm from Chad. They are not changed. It's not changed, you know. And in the Arab, there is a culture. They like from everyone to name the people that he's from, and they want him to name it in a way of pride. I'm from this. Regardless what it is, I'm Belushi, I am this Indian, Pakistani, they don't see that this is bad. But they see it bad with someone who's, for example, he is Pakistani, originally Pakistani. He carries a British passport, for example. And he's trying to say, no, I'm British. I'm British. They don't like this. Here in Saudi Arabia, they don't like this. And I support that very well. I support that very well. If you are originally from Pakistan, there is no shame to say I'm from Pakistan. My parents are from Pakistan. My 1,000 grandfathers from Pakistan. But from 999 fathers are from British, no problem. But can it see? It is here in Saudi Arabia cannot differ between Yemeni and Saudi. And many Yemenis who carry the Saudi nationality, they say we are from Yemen, no problem. And they put in their name, they put Yemen. They put Yemeni. It's not the shame. Some I know some youth, some Yemenis, they don't want even you to mention that they are originally from Yemen. This is wrong. This is arrogance. Now. Actually, I have a witness now. He yesterday came from UK. Last summer I was in the UK and I was sick. And he took me to the hospital. And I don't know if it was the first or the second question, nationality. And not only that, passport. But I do think this is something, it's a kind of administration. It's not related to the society. As you see, this is not from the society. This is something as the, it's administration more than it's society. But let me ask you a question to this. Bring me the American ambassador, okay, here, and take him through the Shemeshi gate, along with the Bengali who doesn't even read and write, and see who will get in. You're the American ambassador or this Bengali? Only the Bengali will go. Why? Because it says clearly, only for Muslims. Only for. Where it comes to the field of Islam, no doubt, but only the Muslims. And they are treated as this, as Muslims. But when it comes, as you said, hospital, not only Bengali, Yemeni, Egyptian, they need to know because there is a law. Every country has their own law. Here they have a law. They say, you are here under sponsorship, right? You sponsor. They are trying to defend you and to give support. Your sponsor should provide you hospital coverage. Why he is not? Why he is not? Why you are coming to the public hospital? You are coming to the public hospital, not to the private hospital, because your sponsor is not giving you the proper coverage. Maybe not. I tell you something. This Bengali, this Yemeni is breaking the law. He is coming as a sponsor, but he's a liar. He's not a sponsor. He's a liar. He's lying. He's deceiving the country. Right? And he's doing his own. And then he says, look, when I go to the hospital, nationality. Yes, because it's only allowed for Saudis. Right? But non-Saudis, his sponsor. It's not saying that he's rubbish. No, but because his sponsor is benefiting out of him. He is building money out of him. So he has to give him some money to go and treat and have treatment. Is this bad or good? I think it's good. I don't see that it is bad. Plus that, the services given in the private hospitals are much better than the services given in the public hospitals here. So, they are forcing the Saudi citizen who is sponsoring this non-Saudi whatsoever nationality is to take him to the private hospital and pay for him. But he is either allowing this oppression to happen to him by not complaining, or he is cheating the government, saying that I came as a worker, but he's not. He's not. He's using the name. Right? So there is something wrong from his side. But again and again, when it comes to the discrimination, this is haram in Islam. This is haram in Islam. Right? So, when we talk about Muslims and Islam, to me, to be honest, I have toured around many countries, Muslims and non-Muslims, Arab and non-Arab. I never saw the Muslim be respected as much as here. Although we see some kind of arrogance. But, believe me, I never saw a Muslim respected as much as here. I never ever. I've been to Yemen, I've been to Egypt, to Jordan, to Pakistan, to many places. And regardless what Muslim he is, Sufi, Shi'i, whatsoever, he is respected. You can see it in the haram. They don't say section for Sufis, section for Shi'is, section for Sunnis. They don't say that. They don't say section for Malikis, Shafi'is. However, when this country, when this government came to exist, there were in the haram such kind of discrimination, and there were four mihrab. And, five? I don't know the fifth rules. The Shia has, even the Shia has the mihrab in the haram. So, the government of Saudi Arabia, they said, no, we are all Muslims. We follow one prophet, we recite one Quran, then we have one imam for salah. That's four. So we gather them all. And some say, oh, they just did that to make it for Najdi people. But we say, look, for example, Abdullah Khayyar was all that. Abdullah Khayyar was imam of the haram and was the teacher of the children of King Abdul Aziz. The private teacher, he was Indian. Was India. His son is today is an imam in the haram, Islam of Iyad. You see, for example, Abu Samh was an imam in the haram. He's from Jordan, I think, or Syria, like that. And many, many others. Muallimi from Yemen. You know? He goes to the teaching staff in the haram. Asiyullah Abbas from India. Sheikh Yahya from India. And many others. He goes to Medina. You see Abu Bakr al-Jazari from Algeria. Huh? Omar Falata from Nigeria originally. Shinkiti from Mauritania. They don't have this kind of thing in the field of Islam. But when it comes to the, what do you call that? The, the mu'amalat, they want it to go in order. So no one takes the other right. So they say, as long as we are allowing the Saudi to sponsor someone from outside, we are forcing the Saudi to provide him accommodation, hospital coverage, etc. He should not escape from that. That's why they say nationality. And that's why, once they see non-Saudi, they say, sorry, you go back to your sponsor. He should have given you hospital coverage. Why he is enjoying the money that the government forced him to pay for you, for the hospital cover and insurance. Allahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala rasulih.